Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light.
Well, as the days get darker and darker, the nights longer and longer, we more and more recognize our need for light. In fact, light is life. We need light in every aspect of our living. We need light for our work and our recreation. We need light to meet many of our basic needs. We need light for warmth and heat. We need light for our physical health. We also need light for our emotional health. The lack of light can lead to depression. An infusion of light can be inspiring and joyful. Light affects us emotionally in that it makes us feel safer. The dark can feel unsafe. In the dark, fears and anxiety can be amplified. We need light for our physical and emotional health. We need light for our minds. When we're not sure of what we're doing or where we're going or what we should be doing, we say, we're in the dark, because that's the way it feels. When you're operating in the dark, life is no fun. And even worse is living in the dark. It's no fun living in the dark about your future career, or your family, or your finances. We want light to show us the way forward. In fact, we come into this world in darkness. Our minds are quite dark, not knowing anything, really. Not knowing how to grow or succeed, not knowing how to talk, not even knowing how to survive. Our minds need enlightenment. Light is essential for our physical and emotional health. It's essential for our minds, but perhaps most of all, it's essential, it's elemental for the health of our hearts. That's why we need the light of faith. Without faith, pride and anger, selfishness and greed, and so many other dark things can creep into our hearts and make a home there. Last week, we looked at how, as individuals, we can share the light of Christ, even through simple acts of service or kindness, something as easy as making an invitation to an unchurched friend or family member to join us for Christmas Eve at the fairgrounds next week. And today we're going to look at the flip side of that. We're going to look at how to be light for our community, how all of us together can be a light for our community. This is Mission Weekend. It's really one of my favorite weekends of the whole year because it's a weekend we come together to dedicate our Advent giving for projects that help our strategic mission partners with game-changing gifts. Last year, we sponsored a water distribution project in Haiti. Another year, we sponsored livestock campaign in Kenya. Another year, school construction in Nigeria. We've done child sponsorships and so much more. All of these wonderful projects have been game-changing. They've been life-changing to our partners and their communities, as well as wonderful Christmas blessings for us as a parish. This year, we are going to undertake our biggest, our most ambitious project yet, our most ambitious project ever. It's an amazing project, but before getting to what, Let's remember why. And to help us out, we're going to take a quick look at an episode from the Gospel of Matthew. The passage we're looking at today takes place as Jesus' own population is soaring, and all this news reaches John the Baptist, whose own fortunes have fallen. And so, Matthew tells us, when John heard in prison of the work of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" John's mission and ministry had been incredibly successful. John was successful, but he was humble as well. He knew that it wasn't about him. He enthusiastically embraced his role as a preparation for the one who was to come, the Messiah, the Christ. But after spending time in prison, the punishment of a cruel and corrupt king, John starts to wonder, is it all worth it? If Jesus was truly the Messiah, would he be in prison? Doubt creeps into John's mind. And so he sends his friends and followers to Jesus to find out what's really going on. What's the deal? Are you the guy, or do we look for someone else? Jesus said to him in reply, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." Go and tell John what you see and hear. What's actually happening? What I'm actually doing. The redemption of the world doesn't just mean that Jesus came to save us from our sins. He did. But his coming means so much more. He came to bring about healing and wholeness. He came as light for the world, light in whose light his followers are called to renew and restore creation. And that playbook hasn't changed. Our worship and gathering here every week, our celebration of the Eucharist, is the source and summit of our community and our faith for sure. It's where we're restored and renewed, but we're restored and renewed for a purpose which we must undertake. Where all of this is largely a superfluous consumer exercise, no more than a holy huddle, irrelevant to the rest of the world. A number of years ago, my great friend, Rick Warren, asked me a question, and other pastors too. And the question was this: if your church closed up shop tomorrow, would anyone in your community not attending your church care or even notice? And to tell you the truth, at the time when that question was asked, I remember feeling a bit uneasy, because I didn't know. I wasn't exactly sure. I think it's clear now that many people would notice, because we're making a good and great impact in many places, but we're going to do more, too. Part of our vision for this parish is that we have a significant impact, an expanding impact here in our own city. That the problems there are increasingly addressed and the opportunities increasingly seized through the grace of Jesus Christ alive in the hearts of believers like us. Much is already being accomplished quietly on a weekly basis through the efforts of our mission teams and many of our small groups working with Catholic Charities. Nativity is the largest provider of meals for my sister's place. We support homeless veterans at Baltimore Station. We partner with Sister Circle in mentoring young girls in the city and support the work of Helping Up Missions on the East Side. Araminta Freedom Initiative, assisting the vulnerable. Hope Springs, that works with those affected with HIV, and more. Good and great work. But this Advent, we're going to step it up. Take a look. In 2015, in the aftermath of the riots in Baltimore, we set out to work with local churches and organizations to identify opportunities for our parish
to help heal the pain in our city, to address the underlying causes of violence and racism, and to advance restoration and renewal. All of our successful mission efforts have always relied on partnerships with organizations actually in the field. We discovered in the process the Southwest Partnership Organization in Southwest Baltimore, who were already doing good and great work. The neighborhoods in the partnership have a rich literary, industrial, and commercial history, but they've all experienced decades of disinvestment, failed redevelopment, and negative press. An article on this neighborhood in the Baltimore Sun just last week described the neighborhood as hardscrabble but promising. Leaders from seven neighborhoods in Southwest Baltimore began meeting in 2012 to form a partnership, envisioning in their mission statement an awesome, healthy, architecturally beautiful, diverse, cohesive community of choice built on mutual respect and shared responsibility. I did not previously appreciate how much progress has been made in many blocks of those neighborhoods in that time. They're very real needs, but very real assets. One of the principal assets are the people, and the growing number of community leaders and residents who believe in their neighborhoods and want to be a part of rebuilding a better Baltimore. We want to be a part of the rebuilding, too. Back in the 1970s, the city built a recreation center on West Saratoga Street in the Poppleton neighborhood of West Baltimore. Sadly, in little more than a decade, it was shuttered for lack of funding and has more or less sat idle since then, a striking example of the challenges the neighborhood faces. The Southwest Partnership proposes to revitalize the Poppleton Recreation Center, and this Advent, we're going to help make it happen, to provide a safe and loving environment for kids and teens, and a real center for the community in the heart of the neighborhood. The building, for all its neglect, is actually in good shape. Built in the so-called high-tech style of the period, with lots of exposed steel and ductwork, it presents itself to the neighborhood in a forthright way. The interior is bright, filled with light, its major feature being a long skylight, which lights both the upper and lower multipurpose rooms. A bright red semicircular tower houses the interior stairs. The overall effect is, in fact, contemporary and somewhat sophisticated. When renovated, this will be no ordinary rec center. This will be a jewel. Specifically, we're talking about new HVAC, electrical, plumbing, new doors and windows, new floors and finishes, and furnishings too. Some of the work, like cleanup, painting, and landscaping, we can do ourselves together with the community and thereby reduce costs. Such service projects might even be available in early 2020. With the needed finances, if we get started in January, this place could be open in time for summer vacation. Think about it. Space for kids and teens to get involved in sports and dance programs, participate in after-school activities. The center is just around the corner from the amazing new school the Archdiocese of Baltimore is building, the Mother Lang School, the vision of our Archbishop, Laurie. Taken together, kids in this community will have safe, enriching, vibrant environments available to them every day, all day. The property also has ball fields, actually in fairly decent shape, and a swimming pool and a wading pool that are also renewable. Imagine what swimming pools would mean to the kids in this neighborhood. They'll be staffed with lifeguards from the University of Maryland nearby. The university will also provide safe transportation for students in the evening throughout the year. The city will be supporting the center financially moving forward. And the center itself will be staffed year-round by members of the partnership. In the coming year, we'll explore ways how our missions teams and small groups can get involved too. Things like fitness classes, literacy programs, art and drama, sports, Bible study, and more. we need to raise $250,000 to get this center up and running for the kids this summer. And I'm confident we can do it because you've done it before. But your contribution this holiday season will be especially worthwhile because local foundations have agreed to collectively match our contribution. That effectively doubles your gift. We have a couple of ways that you can support this effort. First, if you have the new Nativity app, you can give to the project right on the app. If you don't have the app, that's fine. After this message, we'll be showing a number that you can text to make your gift. Finally, if you aren't comfortable with technology, visit us on the concourse after Mass, and you can make your donation the good old-fashioned way, cash, checks, or credit cards. Also, you can pick up Christmas cards on the concourse too. You can make your donation as a Christmas gift for friends and family, thereby scoring a double win. Anyone who makes a donation will receive as many Christmas cards as requested, commemorating your gift. The cards can be folded into Christmas tree ornaments. It's a great way to honor others without more needless gifts. And meanwhile, your gift will be contributing to something really special, something that can be a game changer in the life of this community and life-changing for kids and teens in the community. You know, none of us have been unmoved by the striking challenges and heartbreaking events that our city has weathered in recent years. Let's do more than just hope for a better future. Let's help build one, a better future, a greater city.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city. For greater things have yet to come. Greater to be done in this city. You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. Still to be done in this city.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.